I'm Al John Goh, podcaster and producer of the Disney List, Skull Rock Podcast, and Dining at Disney. When you're creating content, podcast, webcasting, live streaming, or wanting to step up your video conference calls, you need quality gear and accessories. That's why I use Gator Frameworks in my studio. From professional broadcast boom arms and microphone stands, studio monitor speaker stands, ring light kits, headphone holders, elite furniture studio desks, and acoustic wall treatments, Gator Frameworks has you covered. Gator is the leading brand of cases, stands, and support system solutions for music, pro AV, creative pro, IT, and general utility industries. They have over 1,000 different solutions made from vacuum-formed plastics, rational molded plastics, wood, sewn, and EVA materials. Leveraging their expertise in case design and manufacturing, Gator has a complete OEM division that works with leading companies around the world to engineer and create custom cases for original equipment manufacturers. For more information, visit GatorFrameworks.com. Product provided in exchange for promotional consideration.
I'm Kristen Hetzel, co-host of Dining at Disney podcast. Every week, I chat about dining at Disneyland and Walt Disney World Resort and Disney Cruise Line with my fellow foodie, Bubba. We also feature restaurants and food reviews, information to help you plan your dining, Disney food news, recipes, and a monthly panel discussion. Visit diningatdisney.com and subscribe to Dining at Disney podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcast platform. Dining at Disney podcast, the happiest plate on earth.
Welcome to yet another edition of the Disney List. It's Al John and Kristen here hanging out. What is our topic for this week?
We are talking top 10 things that you won't see at Walt Disney World.
Love it. Before we get started with that and our headline news for this week, let's talk about how you can get your free quote. If you're booking your next Disney trip, your next trip to the Walt Disney World Resort or Disneyland or Disney Cruise Line or any cruise line for that matter.
Or Universal.
You can check out Kristen at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com. Just email her there. Kristen, we've got some travel deals that we need to talk about right quick, don't we?
Yes, we do.
All right, what do we got?
Disney just dropped a new promotion. It's where you can save up to $500 on a five-night stay at select Disney resort hotels. That's going to be this spring and early summer.
Nice.
So it's going to be for most days, March 6th through July 7th. You can save anywhere from $20 per night up to $100 per night, depending on which resort you're staying at. This promotion is good starting now. And let's see, you have to have this booked by... Let's see. It does not say. I don't see it. Normally, it says when it expires.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Yeah, so all it says is most days, March 6th through July 7th.
There you go. Well, those are usually very limited, so you need to book now. Because once they're booked, you won't be able to get the deal, of course, because they'll be sold out.
All yes, right. It does exclude the following: a three-bedroom villas, the campsites over at Fort Wilderness, as well as over at Art of Animation, the Little Mermaid standard rooms.
There you go.
But everything else is included.
Very nice. Once again, where can people take advantage and have you book their next Disney trip? Where can people email you?
At themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
Sounds good. And on with the show.
Production of the Sorcerer Radio Network.
An imagination, huh?
Are you guys ready?
Are you ready?
From the Gator Framework Studio in Music City, it's the Disney List. The Disney List. Disney fans Kristen Hetzel and Al John Goh bring you top 10 lists from the Disney parks, films, Star Wars, Marvel, news, travel tips, and more. Now prepare yourself for the Disney List.
In this Disney metaverse, multiverse, we do appreciate you tuning into the show every single week in the nexus of all that is part of this Disney universe. Does that make sense, Kristen?
Yes, does I it? Think so.
Well, thanks. I just, you know, everybody's talking about the metaverse. I thought I'd just hop in there and talk about it.
You know what? I'm already tired of hearing about the metaverse.
Oh, okay. How about the multiverse?
Only
if it's the Multiverse of Madness.
Yes, well, we'll talk about that. That's fun, right? Hey, this is Kristen and Aljon here at the Disney List, where every week we talk about our favorite news stories, the top headline news. But of course, it's all about the lists, right? Top 10 lists, which will include today's topic.
Top 10 things you won't see at Walt Disney World.
Love it. I'm Aljon, go lifelong Marvel, Disney, Star Wars fan and pop culturist. And welcome to the show. And I will also welcome my co-host.
Yes, I am Kristen, world traveler, longtime Disney park fan.
Right on. And of course, from diningatdisney.com.
Yes. Oh,
and the foodie. Dining at Disney podcast, yes. You're a foodie and author. So awesome. Well, before we get into our top 10 for this week, we've got some headline news to discuss, which is always fun. Love talking about the headlines. Love this. At the top of the show, we talked about the Disney deal, so don't forget to book with Kristen at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com. But we also want to mention this real quick. How to stream the next Disney Broadway concert for free. Save the date, sing along with us, and tune into our live stream of the Disney Broadway concert series at Epcot International Festival of the Arts, featuring Broadway stars Ashley Brown, Josh Strickland, Kissy Simmons, and Michael James Scott. That is on Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern in the U.S. So yeah, save the date for the live stream. And that is from the Festival of the Arts at Epcot. That's super cool, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. So definitely please check that out. And that should be a lot of fun. How about this? Disney housing. And I'm not talking about cast member housing or anything like that. I'm just talking about how you want to live in your Disney world, your own Disney world, right? There have been attempts at it in the past, like Celebration. I don't know if they've necessarily been, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Successful at that? I have a friend that's actually living, you know, Derek from Masters of Shred lives over there in Celebration.
I have a friend from high school, Jason, who lives in Celebration.
Oh, yeah? Do they like it?
Yes, he does.
Okay. It's not bad. They've tried. They've dabbled with it. Of course, Golden Oaks now over there in Walt Disney World, Orlando, that is sold out. And those are multi-million dollar homes with a Disney touch. They're amazing looking.
Yes, they are.
I remember when, what was it, 4 years ago, they opened up that development. Was it four, maybe 5 years ago? They opened up that development and they were selling it. And we were looking at all the little concept, little miniatures.
It's been even longer than that.
It's been longer than that?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it was awesome. How cool would it be to live in a million-dollar house over there at Disney, right?
Now they're multi-million-dollar homes.
Multi-million-dollar homes, right? Well, now Disney adults never have to grow up with new story living residential housing. That's been a huge thing. Everybody from the New York Post and everybody's talking about it. Disney is poised to report this movie-making institution license, I guess is what it is, developing a development for over there in Coachella Valley. Coachella Valley that is infused with a company's special brand of magic. The sprawling development also includes a section for residents 55 and older. Retirement, can you say? Retirement place? This development will be first of many Disney developments constructed around approximately a 24-acre grand oasis featuring clear turquoise waters with crystal lagoons technology, according to a press release, which reads both like a real estate announcement and a stage script and set description. There will be a wide range of home types for buyers to choose from, including estates and condos, curated experiences, including performances, philanthropic endeavors. Cooking classes will be available to community members who join a members-only club situation of sorts. And this is from the New York Post. The planned neighborhood is named Cotino. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's being constructed by Disney in collaboration with large-scale planned community building company named DMB Development. And you can see we're looking at the picture of the big clubhouse. It looks very future world-like, big glass structures, really cool. Looks like a nice resort there in the middle of the desert, by the way. It's got a big lagoon. It almost looks like Disney Springs-esque, or I guess you can say this almost looks like Coronado Springs, how there's like
a giant waterway
in the middle, Manway Lagoon. That grand oasis in the middle of the Coachella Valley, and residents can pick from an array of pre-planned housing types that we talked about. And their clubhouse is pretty massive. It looks pretty amazing, Disney-fied. So here's a little quote from Josh D'Amaro from Parks, the Disney Parks chairman. For nearly 100 years, Disney has shared stories that touch the hearts and minds of all people from around the world. As we prepare to enter our second century, we're developing new and exciting ways to bring magic to Disney people wherever they are, expanding storytelling to story living. And we can't wait for the residents to see these beautiful Disney communities where they can live out their lives to the fullest. Interesting. And of course, it hints at in 1996, the town of Celebration was a full-time resort of sorts with a debt.
That it became a tourist trap.
Yeah, it did.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, good stuff. There's more concept art. It's got a senior section, which kind of looks very future world-like. And then it has kind of like this, quote, beachfront style vibe with that, you know, that lake. Just kind of cool.
Interesting.
So, I mean, basically, Disney, I feel that they are licensing their name to a builder, and they've got these concepts, and they're going to work with these builders to kind of give, you know, them that Disney vibe, the Disney architecture, that sense of style.
And then
they're going to sell those houses, and people are going to be like, oh, my house was designed by an Imagineer. Right.
I think they kind of looked at what Margaritaville has done and created its communities for its Parrothead fans, mm-hmm. that I think they kind of went, oh, I think we're missing out on something here. Let's do this.
Yeah, and people are putting Disney on some stuff. You might as well just go ahead and make the most of it and cash in on that, people that want that vibe. But I have to say, it looks really nice, and you're going to live in a community full of Disney fans. So
be interesting to see what the price tag on that's going to be.
Yeah, they will be. Multi-million dollar homes, I'm sure. So another one of these things, you know, Kristen, you brought this up to me. There was an article posted recently that is very controversial of why people are starting to tune out with Disney. They're not in sync with it anymore. And there's been a lot of things, including the petition to kind of remove Bob Chapek from his CEO position because of the different moves that he's made with the franchises as well as theme parks. And a lot of the things, the little perks, you know, and I thought about, should we talk about this or not? Because, you know, you do sell Disney vacations, and I have to say that the price of everything's going up.
Oh, everything.
Everything's going up. But it does seem like a lot of the things that Disney is taking away from the experience, like Magical Express coming to an end, which is that transportation to and from the airport. The removal
where now you have to pay for it.
Yep, now you have to pay for it. The removal of Fast Pass, which is, you know, and we're not privy to how many people like or dislike Magical Express, because they always take surveys of how that experience works. Like, you and I don't use Magical Express, and we haven't for quite some time.
Well, that's because we drive. Yeah, but I liked using Magical Express. I thought it was great. You got off the plane, and I didn't have to go and get my checked luggage. Disney got it for me and brought it to my room.
Like, super convenient.
Oh my gosh, was just, you know, a great perk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're replacing Magical Express with Mears Connect, which is an extra cost, then the removal of FastPass in favor of Disney Plus, Disney Genie Plus, which is basically a paid, you can do a free service, but to get a lot of the perks that you would, you'd have to pay for it, right?
Yes.
Then there is pay per ride individual attraction selections within the app, so that you can get preferential seating. Preferential, you know, service and skip the line, if you will. Nickel and diming guests, like the removal of free benefits and perks.
Oh, well, like
hotels,
you used to get when you booked your hotel stay, you got a magic band. Mm-hmm. And now you have to buy your magic band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Taking away hotel perks, like there was free parking and there was also some extended magic hours in the morning and night.
Well, and since everything started, they got rid of the package delivery to your resort, which was something we used all the time when we stayed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think some of that, too, is due to the fact that I think they have a shrinking workforce, too.
Yeah.
Right? There was, of course, a lot of hollering about the price of the Galactic Star Cruiser. And it's, and people call it the Star Wars Hotel. Dude, it's more than a Star Wars Hotel. It's a Star Wars virtual cruise. I mean, it's a cruise. I mean, it's a planned cruise with, it's not just a hotel. It's an experience. It's almost like cosplay.
I was going to say, really what it is it's a playground for every, like everybody's age. You know, where when you're a little kid, you do a lot of play pretend. You pretend you're a cook. You pretend you're a policeman. Mm-hmm. You pretend you're, you know, a superhero. Well, this, as adults, you get to participate in it. You just have a very high price tag to
It's like a Star Trek holodeck, right? You go in and there's your entertainment, right? Speaking of entertainment, there's that missing entertainment, like some of the Streetmosphere members, the you know, inhabitants of Main Street, Streetmosphere over at Hollywood Studios and things like that. And of course, the weird health measures due to this pandemic that's happening. So there's a lot of things people are not necessarily jiving with this. Some of them are founded and unfounded. But as a travel guru and as we're not currently annual pass holders, we had been for many, many years and probably will be again once we're able to travel again with our children. But what do you think about this? I mean, people saying that they're done with Disney, because I have my own thoughts. This could be in our own show just by itself.
Yeah.
And we might just do that. We should have a panel show discussing about this.
It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because the more people who say they're done with Disney, or the more people who were, you know, that it takes them a long time to save up for their Disney trip. And then now we're looking at it going, we still can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've saved all this, but the prices have gone up so much, we can't. And so therefore, they, rather than saving and thinking that this is going to happen to them again, that they're never going to be able to afford it, deciding, okay, what else can we do with our money? Where else can we travel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people are going to look at Universal Studios
and book their trip with you.
I know some people are going to look at other types of vacations out there.
Yeah, or cruises.
Like cruises. Mm-hmm. And there's a wide variety of cruises depending on who you are to meet your needs. You know, there's stuff that's budget friendly. There's stuff for people who, you know, who have Oprah Winfrey kind of money and can just, you know, flush $100 bills down their toilet. And, you know, that's like dropping a penny to the rest of us.
Sure.
There's trips for them. There's the ones for the in-between. There's certain cruises that are great for people who are young, great for those who are older, good for, you know, big families. I mean, there's something for everybody. And I think you're going to see more people getting a little bit interested in that as well, because they're going to be like, well,
not everybody can afford a Bentley. That's what basically they're saying. Disney's a premium experience. It is a... They basically set the stage for premium pricing with their experiences, whether it's their cruises or their resorts, their theme parks, in terms of pricing. Now, whether or not they live up to that by customer expectation, looks like they still are, even though we as hardcore Disney fans and as pass holders will look at it and go, I don't know if it's worth the money. There's always someone to take your place. People will vote for their wallet. And people are super vocal, especially about the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser and canceling trips and things like that, because they think it's the experience is not, the juice is not worth the squeeze.
I think, but once we're out of all these restrictions and everything that's been going on for the past couple of years, I think give it a year and see, actually wait till after the 50th. Give it the 50th, and then say another 6 months to see really how people are going to react to all this. Because some people may now be saying that, but at the same time, there's a lot of people that like to celebrate these big milestones at vacation spots.
Yeah, as long as people still go through the turnstile and book their trips, Disney has really nothing to worry about, and their shareholders don't, other than the fact that people are voicing their dislike on social media. But once again, that's a small... we tend to live in this bubble when it comes to Disney podcasters and people that talk about Disney all the time. You know, it's like, well, if we don't like Disney that much and we don't want to promote it, then why are we still podcasting? Because I can tell you that I want to go to Disney World and Disneyland to see the parks through our kids' eyes. Kristen, I talked to you just this morning about it. I said, you know, I just can't wait to see them react to seeing Mickey Mouse for the first time or riding Dumbo and all those things that we dreamt of when we didn't have kids. And now that we have kids, we're like, we got to do it.
Yeah.
And we have to, you know, because you and I made so many memories there as a married couple, as adults, and, you know, taking our God kids there. You know, you have I consider them God children, right? They're not our actual children, but they're friends of our families, and going through Disney and having fun with them and seeing the look on their faces and looking at all the other parents and their children, the joy that they have there interacting with things and riding the rides and having fun. I want to experience that myself. So that's why we're going to go back to Disney. And we like to relive some of that ourselves as adults, because our marriage really, because we spent our honeymoon there, it means a lot that
we've
back
spent
there.
So many times.
So I mean, much time.
It's bad when you know directions to places all around, you know, that area of Orlando. And that says a lot about how much time you've spent there when you don't need. I almost said MapQuest. Oh my gosh. Google Maps or Waze. To
MapQuest. What? This is like 20 years ago.
I don't know why that came into my head. That's what I'm saying. Like, where'd that come from?
I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. Hey, and we've made so many friends.
Yes.
Because of Source Radio, by the way, turned 21. Happy birthday, Source Radio. We'll talk about that. But my gosh, we've made so many friends over the years, including the Source Radio team and, you know, different podcasters and friends and you reconnected with friends because of our love for Disney.
Oh, yeah. So we have some of our closest friends we met because of Disney, you know, whether it be attending a Disney event like D23, Expo, yep. Or you know, attending some kind of, you know, podcasters
meetup or something.
Yeah. You know, anything like that, or even doing Sorcerer Radio meetups back in the day.
Yeah.
That we have made so many friends, and some of them are, you know, we talk to on a regular basis, and we've never lived in the same city as them.
Yeah.
And there are some of our closest best friends that when things go wrong, that, you know, they're one of the people we talk to.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for us. Even the cast members, you know, I can't wait for us to go back to Disney and look up some cast members that we've just been friends with over the years, you know, whether it's the bartenders or the hotel staff, right?
Yeah, I mean, or like Lisa and Gail.
Because we haven't seen them since pre-pandemic. Like, so look, everyone can be critical of the Disney company. Lord knows we have been, and there's some things that we don't normally tackle, a lot of the bad news and things, because we want to try to keep it positive here on the show. But I think it's worth mentioning that there is a lot of people that are not able to spend the money on this, what they are calling the premium experience, being a premium brand. I understand that. I work for a company that has premium product. I happen to work under that company and make accessible products for everybody at everyone's price point. So, you know, it's different for me. And granted, it's interesting because, you know, Disney really doesn't have any rivals underneath. I mean, when it comes to other experiences, Disney's pretty much the king, but there are other alternate theme parks like, Universal.
And Universal is growing.
It's growing.
It's been growing over the past 5 years a lot. I'm looking forward to seeing this new park in a couple of years and what else they decide to build, you know?
Competition brings out the best in everybody. I firmly believe that. And so anyway, the conversation will continue. And I'm curious to what you know, our listeners think of this. Feel free to email us at thedisneylist@gmail.com. Speaking of increases, you covered this on Dining at Disney, but we've got some menu increased items as well. Did we talk about this last week? All I can say is that we've got price increases for food that are happening anywhere from $1 to $5 to $10, depending on the restaurant. So it scales up from your, you know, counter service all the way up to table service and signature dining. But, you know, all those things are going up. You know, so be on the lookout for some price increases that are taking place. Here's another thing, too. Okay, this is going to sound really weird, but Kristen and I have not seen Game of Thrones.
Where can you see that? On what platform?
HBO.
See, I just don't want to have to subscribe to HBO just to see that.
Right. Well, well, you have to understand that Game of Thrones is incredibly huge, and author George R.R. Martin is joining Marvel for some brand new content. It looks like there's going to be a upcoming release of Marvel Comics adaptation of his Wild Card stories. It's not Game of Thrones, but it's Wild Card stories. So if you're a fan of this this type of storytelling from George R.R. Martin, please check it out. Wildcard series follows an alternate post-World War II history where Earth is home to superpowered individuals. The lucky few aces, those gifted with superpowers, can use to choose their powers toward heroic goals or villainous ones. So it's a very interesting storytelling in another world of superheroes. They're Wildcards from George R.R. Martin coming to Marvel Comics.
I do want to see that show, though, because I did visit one of the places in Croatia where they did a lot of filming of that series.
Interesting.
And I just think it'd be cool to be able to look at it, like watch it and be like, oh, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Cool stuff. So here's some new entertainment options that are hitting the new Disney Wish. Did you happen to see this? They have got a entertainment hub being called Luna. And I know you probably know about this, Kristen, from your training there, booking Disney trips. It's got a two-story LED wall, stage, and bar. It will be home to two live shows, including Villains Game Night, a game show where guests will answer questions amid the jeers and sneers of nefarious Disney foes, including Cruella de Vil, Gaston, Hades, your favorite, Maleficent, and more. That should be interesting. Disney Wish is also putting together guests in the spotlight with Disney Songbook, another new show that will let you belt out your favorite Disney songs while camera crews put your performances on the big screen, kind of American Idol style. Very neat indeed. Not to mention the fact that you had recently talked about this on Dining at Disney this week, about the brand new sweet shop.
Oh, yes.
That's coming to the Disney Wish that's based on Inside Out. Pretty cool, right?
Oh, yes. I'm excited about the 40 flavors of gelato and ice cream.
I like it.
It does say that some of the combinations that they'll have is like a peanut butter pretzel and a white chocolate raspberry.
Whipped cream.
The whipped cream, the fruit compotes, as well as the sauces will all be made in-house, fresh daily. So that's really cool.
I love fresh whipped cream. It's really cool. And then this is another thing you talked about as well.
Some kind of cupcakes
and macaroons and stuff.
Yes, they're going to have the five emotions of cupcakes. And joy is going to be lemon. Sadness is blueberry. Disgust is pistachio. Yes, I can't wait to have that one. Anger, red velvet, which you'll love. And fear is bubblegum. Oh, interesting. I did not think of bubblegum for being purple.
I didn't either, but it's super cool. I thought it was going to be like some kind of...
I thought it should be something like cotton candy.
Like a berry, you know, or something. I don't know. But that looks to be super cool. I'm a big fan of Inside Out and all of the trappings with this theme for this joyful suite. So I'm so down with that. Hey, what are some things and topics you want us to cover in the show? Feel free to email us at thedisneylist@gmail.com. And now on with the show.
It's the Disney List Top 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The top 10 things you won't see at Walt Disney World. Things you won't see, you'll definitely feel. You'll definitely feel, but you won't see. And there's a lot of hidden things there at the Walt Disney World Resort. And here are just a few. We have seen this particular one. It is very interesting. The Cinderella Castle Suite at Walt Disney World is at number 10. And
it's because you cannot book this.
No.
It's not like you can contact Disney and ask them how much you can spend to stay there. They won't allow you to make a reservation for it. It is something that they either use as a promotion or it's something that's gifted to somebody. So my guess would be if you were Make-A-Wish and visiting Walt Disney World and staying in the castle was on your list, that is one of those type things that they would be like, yes, we will give you the castle suite. You know, that kind of gifting.
Disney has allegedly declined bribes up to $40,000 for one night in this exclusive suite. I mean, wow. That's a lot. I wonder who would bribe them that? Who would want to stay there for $40,000
for one night? I don't know, but I bet Bob Paycheck would take it.
I'm sure he would.
Bob Iger may not have, but I bet Bob, the new Bob would.
Celebrities like the Cruises, right? I've stayed there. I'm going to leave that one alone. Mariah Carey, Kevin Jonas are known to have been given the honor to stay there. These days, the room is rarely used and only used through very special promotions or by lottery, as Kristen's mentioned, maybe Make-A-Wish. They've also done charity benefits for Orlando Magic Youth Foundation. And occasionally, I guess they'll open it up for like D23 members, you know, for special events, perhaps to do a tour, but it hasn't been open for touring since 2007. But there are some photos online if you want to check it out. The 650 square foot suite was inspired by a 17th century French chateau, complete with coffered ceilings, stained glass windows. And to get there, you must pass a grandfather clock with the minute and second hands forever stuck in the 11:59 a.m. before hopping an elevator to the fourth floor. And then you have the mosaic tile floor featuring Cinderella's pumpkin coach. Her glass slipper can even be found in the display. And then you have a 17th century Dutch desk with books borrowed from Belle, quote unquote, and six stained glass windows that face Fantasyland. If you're ever lucky enough to peer through one of these windows, don't expect to see a great view of the park. The windows are more decorative than anything else. This is from Travel and Leisure magazine. Man, this looks really cool. I would love to spend a night there just to say you spent a night at the Cinderella Castle. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I love that. It's really cool. Number nine.
Number nine is you will not find bathrooms in Liberty Square. One land, you will not, because they are sticking with their theming, which at that point in time, we did not have toilets. So therefore, you just threw it out the window, which is why it's like in the pavement.
Well, it's partially true because Liberty Square is famous for its poo-poo river that faces down the middle of the walkway, as you said, reminiscent of the colonial American chamber pot waste that was dumped into the streets and flowed down the center. Ugh, poo highway, Mr. Brownstone Highway. But
can you imagine how bad that would smell in the south in the summer? Ugh,
so disgusting. You won't find like indoor plumbing in the rest. But here's the thing: what you said is not necessarily true. Like, you won't find
outwardly,
the bathrooms, but there are bathrooms in Liberty Square. They're just located inside the restaurants.
Yes,
at Liberty Square.
Yeah, you really couldn't have a restaurant without a bathroom because
codes. Yeah. You gotta have them.
Yep, you have to be able to wash your hands.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes, you know, food doesn't react with everybody's body the way they would like it to.
Oh my, you went there. Yeah, you went there. So anyway, it's just important to know that when you gotta go, you gotta go. At Liberty Tree Tavern and at Columbia Harbor House. Those yes. are the two restrooms you can go and freshen yourself up, if you will. All right. So here is number eight. Number eight, we will be talking about gum. Gum isn't sold at Walt Disney World.
You cannot buy it.
And you will very rarely see it because the custodial staff, the engineers that take high pride in maintaining the cleanliness of the park will go down and literally scrape it off immediately.
It's because people are gross with their gum. It's not just children. You know, you think, oh, kids are going to, you know, stick it underneath things. It's not just kids. Adults do it too.
Yeah, absolutely. And there you have it. You know, I mean, that's just one of the things, and they haven't ever done that. And I think what is the Disney by the numbers, Tony would say that, right, there are how many trash cans at Disney Park, but it's like 30 paces. They said that, you know, Walt would meticulously look at the guests at Disneyland and look at how long it would take for them to discard a piece of trash, how many paces it would take. And that's, you know, on average, 30 paces or something. And there would be a trash can everywhere you go because, you know, you're sipping a drink, you're going to throw it out. You've got something you're eating in your hand, a turkey leg, and then you want to throw it out. So, yeah, so there's all those things that they do, but you'll definitely won't see gum at any Disney park or even downtown Disney Springs.
So if you are in need of gum and you're traveling, buy your gum ahead of time, bring it with you and throw it in the trash can.
Number seven.
All righty. You don't see Walt Disney World cast members necessarily going from one land to the next in the wrong themed outfit.
Yeah, you won't see somebody from Tomorrowland in Adventureland.
Exactly. There is a world underneath Walt Disney World Resort, definitely under Magic Kingdom, a little bit under Epcot. But the utilidors were invented because Walt Disney himself didn't like the idea of cast members traveling through the areas of Disneyland that didn't match their theme.
Which you see in California. And it always throws me off when I see that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of weird. You see someone from Jungle Cruise going in Tomorrowland or whatever the case is. Someone from Haunted Mansion out there in Tomorrowland. It's just kind of weird. But when Imagineers planned Walt Disney World, they were looking for some new ideas on how to keep the operations behind the scenes and underground. So the swell was removed from Seven Seas Lagoon, and they went ahead and built up their first floor with the utilidors, where they're designed to carry both utilities and people, trash, right, and transport people back and forth from different places. So there you have it.
So technically, you are not, as you enter on the first floor of Magic Kingdom, you are on the second floor.
Exactly. Exactly right. Very cool. So cast members can walk from one location to the next through utilidors or use electric golf carts. This keeps people being hidden from the guest view, just as Walt Disney intended, right?
Yes.
Really cool. Many of the kitchens that serve the restaurants are actually located in the utilidors. Did you know that?
I had heard that. I also know that they have special restaurants down there for them, too.
Yeah, for the cast members. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, they're off limits to the theme park guests. However, it is possible for you to get a glimpse of the utilidors through this special Keys to the Kingdom tour that you can book. Or you can have Kristen book it for you. You can allow to see many different behind-the-scenes areas for some of the Magic Kingdom, but also at Epcot, Hollywood Studios, the Central Costuming Office, which happens to be the largest wardrobe facility in the entire world. So pretty cool. Pretty cool indeed. So there you have it.
Number six.
Did you know, Kristen, that Disney World also has an airport just outside of Magic Kingdom?
Yes.
You've seen it.
It's abandoned and not in use.
So it's a private airport right off the property close to the parks. It sits south of the Magic Kingdom Park and north of Epcot next to World Drive.
What's interesting when you think about it is the square miles that Walt Disney World is. I mean, it's as big as some of these major cities, and it doesn't have an airport. It's kind of crazy when you think about it that way, of how many people visit there, that Disney doesn't have its own airport and airline for people to visit the park who are, you know, specifically going there to visit Disney and not do other attractions.
So that was the plan originally for Epcot, the original community, not the theme park, but the community that Walt was building, for there to be a regional airport with four runways. But after Walt passed, this plan never came to fruition. And this later was released for the plans for Epcot and were significantly scaled down. It did not include an airport. The road is still accessible with the entrance to the parks. Anyone can drive there and check it out. Walt Disney World Airport, which is also known as Lake Buena Vista Airport, or Buena Vista Stoll Airport, operated until the 1980s, but hasn't been used for commercial flights. And I would say it's probably good, because that just leads to a bunch of noise.
Yeah.
You know, so all for the better. Although if there are special guests or something like that, having an airway is important, especially too, I guess, if there are emergencies.
Yeah.
Right. Someone needed,
especially if you need to life flight somebody.
There you go. Right. There you go. Another thing you won't see.
Number five.
Is the typical point gesture.
The one finger point that most people in America use.
It's a no, no. So when you're out there, cast members won't be using the single finger point. They're called upon to use a two finger point. A very specific method of pointing, two fingers instead of the one. It's easier for the visually impaired to see, but pointing with a single finger is considered rude in some cultures. I think a lot of people that listen to this show understand that. Visitors to Disney theme parks come from everywhere in the world, and pointing with two fingers instead of one eliminates some of the risk of offensiveness.
The other option they can do is the open hand point, point with your whole hand.
Yeah, point with your whole hand, which is what I prefer, because it's less awkward. But you'll notice that there are examples of the two-finger point in Disney films. It is hilarious. You want to talk about some of these? This is kind of like an extra tidbit.
Okay, some characters that you have seen that have pointed with two fingers include Prince John.
From Robin Hood.
Frollo from Hunchback of Notre Dame. You have
Shan Yu from Mulan.
Mr. Incredible from The Incredibles. Maui from Moana.
You're welcome.
Including Minnie Maui, like the Maui on his body that, you know,
his tattoo,
moves
and, tribal tattoo.
Yeah, that talks.
Yokai from Big Hero 6.
Surge Protector from Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet. Gosh, that's all. My favorite is Bowler Hat Guy from Meet the Robinsons.
There you go.
As well as Cornelius Robinson. From Zootopia, Nick Wilde. Sarge from Toy Story. And then you have it in live action movies as well. Jack Cowboy Kelly from Newsies. Dr. Hans Reinhardt from The Black Hole.
Lily Moskowitz from Princess Diaries. It's hilarious. Mr. Whittle from The Santa Claus.
Coach Riley from The Mighty Ducks.
Right. Sir Anthony Ross from The Island at the Top of the World. And you have Quill from The Mandalorian. I have spoken. And of course, Tom Hanks playing Walt Disney in Saving Mr. Banks. I mean, the list goes on and on for the two finger point. It's hilarious. The list goes on and on for all kinds of pop culture where the two finger point is applied. But I love it. It's hilarious.
So now you have to see if you can find it when you're watching the Disney movies. See if you notice the two finger point.
I love that. I love that.
Number four.
You know, have you ever heard a cast member at the Walt Disney World Park or Disneyland say, "I don't know"?
I have not. Usually their response when I've heard a guest ask them something that they don't know. Two things I've heard happen. One is they say, "Let me find somebody to help you with that." Mm-hmm. Or they've given the wrong information, thinking they knew the answer.
Disney parks go to great lengths to ensure the guests have the most magical time. And this includes making sure they don't tell a guest, I don't know. That is apparently what they're taught. We'll have to confirm this and how they're taught when we talk to Bubba, because he's a former cast member. He's a former cast member and, of course, a Sorcerer Radio staffer.
That's what we should do. We should have Bubba on the show to talk 10 things, you know.
You're trained as a cast member.
Yeah. When you go through, it's not called orientation, traditions.
Traditions, right. Yeah, we'll do that. Or we can talk to Bubba and Taylor. We can have Jess and Ryan on. They were both Disney cast members, which is cool. But yeah, there you go. They're not allowed, cast members are not allowed to say, I don't know, when they don't actually know the answer. They must go into all the lengths to wander around and find out, from another cast member. They're not supposed to even mock guests for answering questions. If someone asks you what time the 3 o'clock parade start, you can't laugh because they may be serious, which we know that's the case. Right?
You know what? That I think would be the hardest thing for me to do. Would
it's
be
not laugh. Not,
yes, because you just it for me. My reaction is,
are you kidding? You're kidding me, right? It's a joke, right?
I mean, I couldn't help but do that. It would just be a reaction, you know, like it.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Somebody backs you behind hits behind your knee just gives out. It's just, you know, involuntary reaction. My laugh would be the same kind of thing.
I'd be like, excuse me, a baking powder?
Number three.
So have you ever noticed that Walt Disney is really cracking down on smoking sections? And I think a lot of people clap their hands at that, but something you'll never find is cast members smoking anywhere.
True.
But they are hidden from view. In fact, there is a particular smoking area that you may be able to find if you're roaming about Animal Kingdom over there by the train tracks. But they really curtail that smoking area, those smoking areas. But yes, a great example, Kilimanjaro Safari smoking area, which is sharp-eyed guests on the Wildlife Express train to Rafiki's Planet Watch can actually see a glimpse of that. So there you go. But once again, they have a bunch of different places there, but you won't see smoking areas particularly.
Can't wait to the day that they are completely gone.
And there you have it. There's people from all around the world that still continue to smoke. So that's one of the things you won't see for sure. Hidden from sight.
Number two.
All right. So also at number two is the flags. Do you notice?
You don't see a actual American flag anywhere.
That's not true. You do. You see one. And that's.
Oh, that's the one that in. Yeah, that they do the ceremony with.
Yes.
That's the only actual flag.
That's right. So the American flags at the USA Disney parks, especially on Main Street, are replica flags. And there are particular rules when you display an authentic American flag, you know, the stars and stripes. If it's an authentic flag that they show in the square of Main Street, it has to be lowered at half mast when it's supposed to happen, and it's supposed to be taken down certain times or when inclement weather and things like that happen. But you'll also notice there are flags on the tops of many of the buildings throughout Main Street. But those flags are not authentic U.S. flags. They are missing a star or missing a stripe. And that way they can avoid having to always take them down or to display them at half mast.
And see, that's easy to do. I mean, you could take off 5 stars and nobody would notice it was missing 5 stars because we have so many stars in our flag.
And there you go. I mean, yeah, it's one of those things worth mentioning because they want to give the illusion of that turn of the century American Main Street USA, right? On 4th of July specifically. Yeah. Which is super cool, unless of course it's the holidays, and of course it's ready for Christmas or what have you, but or Halloween. But very interesting stuff. But it is great, and it's one of my favorite things to see at the park when I'm there, is for them to bring out the honor guard, and they come out, you know, with the military or law enforcement, and they do the flag retreat, and they honor a person that has served in the military. It's just a very moving and great ceremony, one that I think has fallen by the wayside in many people's minds. But I think it's really great to celebrate the sacrifices of those people and what they've done for the country. So I find it very moving. And anytime we're there in Main Street to see that is always time well spent. I enjoy seeing the flag retreat. So Anyway, enough about that. But now it is now time for
number one.
At number one, Chris, we have the thing that is felt, or I should say smelled, and not seen. And I'm not talking about A Silent But Deadly. I'm talking about how Disney brainwashes guests with the smells of the park.
How they get you to buy food.
That's how they get you. That's how they get you. They have this technology called smellitzers, and they pump the smell of churros or popcorn or confections throughout the different
cotton
candy popcorn. When you go into Main Street, you walk down and the first thing you smell is the smell of popcorn. You immediately think, I'm getting hungry. I want that yummy buttery popcorn there at the popcorn cart. I know I do every single time I walk through. It's like, want popcorn? I think I say that to you every time we go through Magic Kingdom, and we never do. We never get it, but we always go inside the snack shops.
What is your favorite food smell that Disney pumps out?
Churros, bar none. Churros.
Mm-hmm. My favorite always is the cotton candy. I like love the smell of the confectionery. Mm. It always makes me want to go in and get cotton candy.
I love the smell of the confectionery. It's amazing. But it doesn't just work for you to buy snacks. You can also smell those sweet smells where you buy stuff at shops. They do it all the time. And I used to do it as a salesperson. And you used to work at Bath & Body Works, so you know how important smell is. Not only for you to lock in certain memories and good fun time feelings, which they do at Disney, because smell being such an important one of your senses, it really helps lock in that good feeling. But it also helps you sell stuff. And I remember when I used to sell stuff, I would take candles that I'd buy from you at Bath & Body Works with like cookies in particular or baking bread and light them behind the counter so that people would be more apt to buying from me, which always worked. I was always like a top salesperson because I would employ that. It's a good technique, by the way, but they actually do it. So that's how Disney gets you.
It's in attractions as well.
Yeah, it's in attractions. What is your favorite attraction smell?
I've always liked pirates, but I think I have to go with the oranges or the pine or the water that you smell in Soarin'. I love the Soarin' smells.
I don't know if
it's because there's multiple smells that you get in that attraction, I think is why I like it so much.
I know what smell I don't like.
Well, I didn't like the smell of that chili cheese dog back in the day when you had Stitch's Great Escape. That would make me nauseous every time they pump that out.
Well, how about the skunky smell of Journey to Imagination?
You know, that doesn't bother me.
Oh, that bothers me. Oh, hate that. Gross.
Yeah, that smell doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, they're gross smells, but they're also great smells. And I prefer to think of churros. So, and that's how they get you. That's how they get you to spend all the money. That's hilarious. It is hilarious. Well, hey, gang.
Number seven.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I hit the wrong. Hey, look, there you go. If you're playing along like Lee Beatons is at home, you know you should take a shot right now. That's all I'm saying. The show is over. Hope you enjoyed our top 10 things you won't see at Walt Disney World. Thank you for joining us for yet another edition of the Disney List. An awesome conversation. Kristen, where can people find you on the interwebs?
If they're looking for travel, they can email me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com. If you are looking to discover new and delicious things when it comes to dining at Disney, check out Dining at Disney podcast, as well as visit diningatdisney.com and follow us on all your favorite social media platforms.
I think it's important to note that Sorcerer Radio just celebrated a 22-year anniversary. Happy birthday, Sorcerer Radio. You can check us out streaming online every Mondays at srsounds.com. Of course, everywhere you find podcasts, but the new website is up, and you can configure what player you want to check us out, whether it's, you know, the Amazon units or I don't need to say the name because it'll probably freak somebody out at home. But also Roku, Apple TV, there's CarPlay, mobile apps for Android, iOS. And also you can check out all the different channels. You can check out the schedules, the shows that include the Disney List. When you click on the Disney List, you can also check out a way to support the show with our tip jar. Yay, the tip jar. So feel free to do the show chat. There's a tip jar on there if you want to give us a little tippy tip. That would certainly help. You can also check out our show everywhere you get podcasts. We do appreciate that. But happy birthday, Sorcerer Radio, for 22 wonderful years. And thank you so much for having the Disney List and Chris and myself be part of it. All right. You can find me, Aljon Go, also on Instagram. And you can also follow our sister show, Skull Rock Podcast, with myself and former Disney creative, the man, the myth, the legend, award-winning author, Dave Bossert, an animator, Disney, everything. He's done everything Disney. That's all I got to say about that. So check out Skull Rock Podcast. Hey, look, our time is out. So go ahead and enjoy the rest of your week, and we will see you next week in an all-new edition of the Disney List. My name's Aljon.
And I'm Kristen.
And we'll see you real soon.
Information and opinions expressed in this podcast are for entertainment and informational purposes. All other trademarks mentioned are the property of their respective owners.
Skull Rock Podcast, talking all things Disney, with your hosts, Aljon Go and Dave Bossert.
Do you just love to learn more about the magic that embodies animated films, theme park attractions, and more? The all-encompassing universe created and produced by the genius of Walt Disney has spanned nearly 100 years and counting.
From his earliest film endeavors with the Laugh-O-Gram cartoons and the Alice comedies, to the creation of Mickey Mouse, to the first animated feature film, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and then dreaming of Disneyland, Walt Disney continuously raised the creative bar, and today his company has carried on that tradition as a global entertainment juggernaut. I'm Dave Bossert, artist, filmmaker, and author.
And I'm Aljon Go, musician, podcaster, and radio guy. Every week, Dave and I will explore the entertainment galaxy that is Disney with insightful conversation, stories, and special guests talking all things Disney.
Listen to never-before-heard stories and behind-the-scenes moments from some of your favorite Disney films, theme park attractions, performances, books, music, and so much more from knowledgeable, insightful, and thought-provoking hosts and guests. Hear the latest news about Disney past, present, and future.
Skull Rock Podcast is your go-to source for the magic we all love. Skull Rock Podcast. Visit skullrockpodcast.com. I'm Aljon Go, co-host of the Disney List podcast as heard on Sorcerer Radio, as well as Skull Rock Podcast, here with my wife, Kristen. Hello.
Hello.
You are an earmarked agent who books Disney travel vacations for people all the time. Give our listeners a reason why they'd want to give you a call instead of just booking a trip by themselves.
Well, I can do all of the legwork for them. I have expertise. I've been to the Disney parks well over 100 times, so they've got that knowledge at their hand, as well as it saves them time and money.
Where can people get in touch with you so that they can book their next Disney cruise, Disney park trip, Adventures by Disney?
They can contact me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.